So one of the common questions I get from coaches that are trying to make a change in their culture, or maybe they're making a change in their own leadership, is if they feel like they've kind of hit a rock bottom, or they're just in a really, really tough situation, oftentimes they feel like they may need to go to someplace else. They need to move towns, they need to move schools, right? They need to move communities as they make these changes in their own leadership and the way that they're building culture. And I can resonate with that. And that's so much of my own journey. When I was making a change back around 2016, is part of me felt like, man, I just need to get out of here and hit the reset button. And I've come to realize two things that are maybe wrong with this approach. One is that you're never going to be fully ready, right? We're never going to be the perfect coach, the perfect leader. We're never going to have the perfect plan in place to build the team culture and all those things. And so that if we wait for that moment to start that next job or whatever, right, the perfect opportunity, it just will never come. But most importantly, our own journey of growth and improvement, our ability to model that self-reflection and that self-improvement is honestly the superpower of transformational leaders. When we are transparent around our own journey and growth as a leader, it gives us more credibility, actually. I know that oftentimes we're afraid that we'll lose credibility, but it actually helps us to gain credibility, especially when we're making improvements based upon the feedback that we received from our athletes. Secondly, it helps to improve connection, right? We're going to be able to connect more with our athletes around areas that we all struggle. And lastly, it's going to deepen our impact. You know, probably one of the biggest buzzwords that we've heard in the last decade around education and sports is growth mindset. There's no better lesson around growth mindset that we can give our athletes than to demonstrate a growth mindset. And that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of the podcast. Nate and I are going to share our thoughts and some ways that we can be transparent with our athletes around our own journey as a leader. Maybe the areas that we struggle at, maybe the things that we're focusing on to work on and improve. What are appropriate ways for us to share? What are some effective ways for us to do that so that we can deepen our impact and our relationships with our athletes? Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm your host, JP Nurbin, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Nate Sanderson. The mission of this podcast is to help you become a better leader and build a better culture. In addition to this podcast, I'm the founder of TOC, which provides one-on-one coaching and consulting for leaders. Learn more about us at tocculture.com. This episode is brought to you by the TOC newsletter. Every Thursday, our newsletter includes two things you don't want to miss out on. Firstly, the notes to that week's podcast episode. Whether you're listening while driving the car, out for a run, or doing the dishes, we don't want you to miss the biggest takeaways from each episode. Secondly, each newsletter is a short article from myself or Nate on leadership and culture. These articles are designed to inspire, encourage, and provide practical insights into leadership and culture building. Our content is a perfect fit for anyone who wants to stay up to date with the latest trends and insights in culture building. You can subscribe to the newsletter at tocculture.com or by clicking on the link in the details of each episode.
Well, JP, I think before we dive into the water here too deep on some of this personal disclosure with our players or with our teams, I think it's probably important to think a little bit about why, as coaches, we're often resistant to do that. I think for the most part, at least I'm speaking for myself from my own experience, there's a tendency here to want to remain guarded. That sometimes we might feel a concern that if I am vulnerable with my weaknesses, with my players or with the parents, or sometimes even with my own staff or administration, that somehow might be used against me, or that might be viewed as a sign of weakness, or, you know, maybe that fuels a fire or a narrative around the program that, see, coach doesn't know what he's talking about. He's changing the offense again, or he's changing his leadership style again, or he's come back to the team and apologized for the 25th time for reaming him out and putting him on the line at the end of practice. And it doesn't seem to be anything that's, you know, changing or working. And so I think sometimes there's just a fear that when we start to acknowledge we haven't arrived yet, we're not where we want to be, there are changes that we're trying to make, that might be used against us in some way to prove that, yeah, he really doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, another reason coaches might struggle with some of this personal disclosure comes down to our own need or desire to seem infallible, you know, like we're perfect, and put on this kind of mask of perfectionism. And honestly, I still struggled with this as a father, as a leader, right? I put all this work and time and effort into these things that I say are really important. And it really stinks to not be perfect at it, no matter how hard we work at these things. What I've found to be really fascinating is that there is so much benefit, first off, for them, for us to be admitting our mistakes, admitting some of our imperfections, right? There's a lot of benefit for the athletes in this experience. But there's also huge benefit for us in dealing with our own imperfections. And that when we share our mistakes, there's so much research that when we share our mistakes or where we've struggled, that it actually helps us to not develop a negative self-image, which I know plagues a lot of us as leaders at times. You know, we make a mistake. We're the one that is beating ourselves up over the wrong play call or the moment that we lost our cool with a player or our struggle to maybe relate or build relationships or connections, right? We're the ones that are probably losing more sleep than anybody else in our program over our imperfections. And so by sharing some of our mistakes, it's not only benefiting the athlete, but it's benefiting us in our own self-image. And for me, I find that to be very profound.
When I think when coaches hear a conversation start like this, JP, there might be a little bit of reservation here about, so I'm just going to go out and air my dirty laundry in front of the team, and that's going to bring us together in some magical way. And I think that there's a couple important disclaimers here. Number one, this is not confessional, all right? So we're not asking you to go back through your college days and talk about all the things that you wouldn't normally share with your players, you know, or go through your rap sheet or, you know, talk about your marital infidelities or whatever other things that you may have hidden in the closet. Like that's not what this is, okay? I think another thing that's important just to put out there is that there is an age and stage appropriateness to how much, you know, you're going to share, even when it comes to the areas that you're trying to grow in. I mean, I'm not going to explain to my daughter's 9-year-old basketball team, you know, why I'm not yelling at them or why I'm, you know, trying to reason with them. Like, I'm not going to get into, you know, a lot of those things because they just don't have the capacity to understand. At the same time, you know, there are things that I wouldn't share with the high school girls basketball team that very well could be affecting the way that I show up every day, you know, on the home front or something else. But there do need to be reasonable boundaries there of appropriateness. And I think that does change, you know, you would have more latitude potentially at the college level when you're dealing with young adults versus the high school level or the youth level. So to perhaps tamp down some of the reservations of our audience here, those are some of the things that we want to keep in the back of our mind before we really dive into this journey of, well, what do we share, JP, then, if it's not those things?
Yeah, I think one of the best starting places for sharing areas that we're working on is, where are we getting feedback? Right? Where are we getting feedback? Whether it's, you know, through some 360 feedback or end of the season reviews or things that are passed through, you know, our club administrator or athletic director that are coming back to us. You know, however we're getting feedback, when we get that feedback, one of the most important things that we can do is to recognize what we're going to work on, how we're going to work on it, and share that with our team. Failing to do so, especially if you ask for feedback, all the research will show, you know, asking for feedback is really beneficial, but it's really only beneficial if you come back and you share, hey, thank you for this feedback. You embrace the messenger, don't shoot the messenger, embrace the messenger, as Daniel Coyle talks about, and say, I appreciate this. Okay, this is what I'm going to work on, and this is how I'm going to work on it. And even potentially, hey, as we move forward, I'd love for you guys to continue to give me more feedback or to share your perspective on it or to support me in this way. Doing this is hugely impactful. Failing to do this when we get feedback is catastrophic for the relationship and trust. And this isn't always just like in big feedback moments. This is in small moments, right? I think about even just my relationship with my kids and as a parent, the feedback sometimes they give them. My daughter is very quick to say, Dad, your tone, right? She's only 7, but she'll call me out for my tone when I'm a little bit aggressive and assertive. And she'll tell me, like, you know, that makes me feel upset, or that's, you know, and I could just ignore that, but I try to listen to it and say, okay, hey, I'm working on that, right? Keep letting me know that next time, you know, I use that tone with you, right? Just continue to keep giving me that feedback. So letting her know that I'm working on it, maybe even sometimes sharing the things that I do to work on my tone and, you know, sometimes my temper, you know, that sometimes tends to flare up. Even bringing my kids into our mindfulness routine that I do in the evening, like, and them doing that with me, like, that's a really cool, beautiful experience. It's the same with our athletes, right? So when our athletes give us feedback, maybe on our tone with them in a practice, or they feel like we haven't communicated well enough around roles, or whatever it be, if players are giving us feedback real time throughout the season, is finding ways for us to acknowledge that and share with them, hey, that's something I need to work at, or this is how I'm working on that, and encouraging some support around that as well too. So, you know, this is the type of thing I would say is really our starting point for personal disclosure. It has to start with the things that we're actually getting feedback on.
Well, I think one of the reasons that that's so important, JP, is because, as you mentioned in the opener, what we're doing in that process is we are modeling a growth mindset. You know, this growth mindset that we expect from our players, and many athletic programs and teams have this as one of their core pillars, right? Or their core values, is to have a growth mindset. It isn't just about learning more. It's being responsible for what we've learned. And so, you know, when you start thinking about a 14, 15 year old kid that comes into your program, there's a pretty good chance that they don't have a great role model in their life that is walking them through their own process or journey of improvement as an adult. And so when we start asking kids to, you know, have a growth mindset and be open-minded and try a new role or whatever that manifestation is in conversations with players, in many ways, their ability to respond to that in a positive way is going to come from what they see in the way that you respond to the feedback, as you said right there.
Yeah, what's really cool about that is I know that in the academic world, in education, you know, many teachers are encouraged to early on in the classroom demonstrate mistakes and how they respond to that, right? Like, just simple things like that. It creates more psychological safety and models, you know, that we're not perfect, right? And this ability to grow. And I think it's similar to that. There is a really, really strong message, I think, for people today, not just young people, to be perfect or present this perfect image of ourselves, especially through social media. And so one of the greatest gifts I think we can give our athletes is to not be another person that's presenting this image of perfection, but this image of self-reflection and putting in the work to actually grow, to change, and someone that's focused on just becoming a better version of themselves. That is a beautiful gift that we can offer our athletes.
I think in a lot of ways, JP, what you're describing there, it really mirrors what Daniel Coyle talks about in the culture code of the vulnerability dance, right? Or the safety dance. Like, somebody's got to take a step first, a little bit of vulnerability, a little bit of disclosure, look around, see if it's okay, see if anybody else takes another step. And that's really how the connectivity on a team starts to grow, with these little tiny steps, right? And, you know, for us in sport, when we make mistakes, you know, an entry-level point to this, just to sort of get your toe in the water, might be something equivalent to making a mistake in the classroom, such as you make a strategy mistake or a tactical mistake. And so in the film session, just modeling, taking responsibility for it, how you're thinking and responding to it, like, that's a great first step in just starting to open the door to some of that vulnerability and modeling some of that reflection with your team. I remember last year we had a game that came down to the wire and we were ahead by one possession less than a minute to go. And we turned it over like three times in the last minute and a half and somehow miraculously still found a way to win the game. And so afterwards I was, you know, thinking about laying into the team a little bit, right? In terms of how we want to close games and we shouldn't be doing things like that at this point in the year. But I also realized as I went back through the film that there was a key point with about 17 seconds left in the game where I drew up a play that was illegal. So we had called a timeout and we had started all of our players out of bounds and we were going to run four of them inbounds and then, you know, do the little football play there and try to get it in. And you can do that after a made shot, but you can't do that after a dead ball. I didn't know that. And fortunately, the officials didn't know that were working the game that night. So we got away with it. And we're able to preserve the possession. So when we're talking about the mistakes that were made in the final minute of the game that could have cost us the game, Yeah, we talked about the players' turnovers, but I also showed them that clip. And I said, here's where I almost cost us the game because I didn't know this rule, you know? And so, again, it's just modeling. I'm taking accountability. I'm taking responsibility for my role in that. And I want my players to understand that it's not a crippling mistake. I just appreciate learning after talking to some other officials. It's made me better, and we move forward, which is exactly how I want them to respond to the mistakes when they threw it out of bounds in the same game.
That's a great example. I love that. And I think I want to share another example that I think is probably one of the most common areas with the coaches and leaders that I work with, that they're maybe making some changes or constantly working to improve. And that is around holding their athletes accountable or giving hard feedback. It's a common struggle for many leaders to shy away from those tough conversations. There are certain fears about how the player will respond, the desire to be liked, right? There's a lot of things going on there. But oftentimes the coaches will get feedback from the players like, hey, we need, you know, be tougher on us, hold us more accountable. And so this is a really profound opportunity to share with your athletes. And it's actually essential and important if you do start to make changes, right? So if you've been the buddy-buddy, you know, been more of a friend to your players the last few years, and all of a sudden you come in and you start holding them accountable and they don't really know what's going on or why you're doing that or that you're working on that, it's going to really throw them for a curveball, right? Like, you know, it's going to be really difficult for them to understand why you're doing that. And they're probably going to be resistant to it. So I think it's really important for you as a coach in this instance, if you're trying to, hey, I'm going to be better about accountability this year, and we're going to implement some new ways of holding our athletes accountable. Well, take the time to explain, first off, how you're going to hold them accountable, but also why. Hey, I got feedback. I wasn't being tough enough on you, wasn't holding you accountable, and you're right, right? And these are some of my fears. I'm afraid oftentimes to hold you guys accountable because I'm afraid of you guys blowing up on me. And I genuinely like and care about all of you, and I want to be liked by all of you here. That's just a, you know, human need there. So this year, I'm going to be working on stepping in and holding you guys accountable when you're below the line or you're below the standard here. And that's something I'm going to be working on. And what I need from you is, you know, is this, right? So just kind of communicate maybe something that they could do to support you in that. But this is a powerful conversation here because it's going to do one, you know, many things. One is obviously it's going to help you kind of map out your own plan for growth in this area. And it's going to potentially help them be better at actually receiving the feedback and the accountability when it does come in. Oh, hey, this is what we said we wanted from coach. Coach is now giving us the accountability, right? We should probably be grateful that he or she is doing this instead of just letting us do whatever we want, because that obviously doesn't lead to the culture and the success and the outcomes that we want. And so this is just another example of, you know, an area that you might find appropriate if that's something you're working on as a leader.
So in some ways for us, JP, this has almost become part of our annual calendar in terms of, you know, there's a period where we're collecting feedback and perspective, and then we're processing it as a coaching staff, and then coming up with, you know, a new way forward or improvement or changes. But we don't just make the changes, you know. So for example, this past season, we go through, we interview all the players after the year, we do our exit interviews. I sit down and do an exit interview with all of our coaches. I talk to our, you know, AD, and we share notes, you know, on things that we're hearing and as we look back on the season. And then we'll meet as a coaching staff, usually in the spring and once in the fall, and we'll kind of distill all of that and try to figure out how much of this demands change, how much of this is maybe just, you know, one or two individuals, what are we going to do to move forward? So we put together a plan. And then when we start the season, we always have a preseason meeting, and there's certain things that we go over, you know, every year. But one of the things that we do in that meeting is we give essentially the players a sense of, here's what we heard from last year. You know, we go through all the interviews. For example, you know, something we'll talk about this year is that there's a feeling that it's hard to move up in basketball, that once I'm set on my rotation, things don't change. You know, no matter how well somebody plays that's maybe chasing, or how poorly someone plays that's being chased to get into the lineup, there's this perception that I just tend to go with our, you know, the way that things are set early in the year. And there's reasons for that as I think about it. But I also empathize with the players a little bit that they really feel like they're pigeonholed. And so we're going to create next season more opportunities for competition with a couple more scrimmages earlier in the year where some of those kids can get on film and do some more live things in practice. And one of the things that I realized is that I need to be better about giving the feedback that has kept people from getting into the lineup. I could think of a really specific example last year where number 8 kind of became number 9, but really couldn't crack the lineup and get into the first 7. And there's a specific game that I remember where this particular player made 3 consecutive defensive errors, gave up a 7-0 run, you know, sort of coming in late in the game. And I thought, there's no way we can trust this kid to come in if she doesn't even know what she's doing in garbage time. Never shared it with her. I just buried her, but she had no idea, right? And so, you know, me being more accountable to giving that feedback, to give her a chance to improve the things that keep her from being able to compete, that is on me. And I do think, JP, there's even a place for me to share, you know, a little bit that I don't like having those conversations. Like you just said there, like that's not really fun for anybody. It's not great news to get. It's not great news to deliver. And so that just part of my personality has also prevented me from doing that. And that's not an excuse. It's just a, this is sort of part of who I am, but it's what I'm working through to improve this year. And so players, you can expect this, that, or the other as we start to move forward next season based on how we're responding to that feedback and trying to grow.
Yeah, you mentioned that personality piece. That's really important. And I think it makes me think of the value of doing, we do a lot of workshops with teams and with coaching staffs around personality. And you can use Strength Finders or DISC or Equilibria, you know, but either way, when you bring the power is not necessarily the assessment tool for the personality, the power is in the conversation. And when a group of team members sit around and talk about their strengths, but also, you know, their areas for growth or their potential limiters, and you have this vulnerability from the coaches and the athletes sharing these things around how they might actually, their personality might negatively impact the team. And then also make some clear commitments of like, hey, this is one or two things that I'm going to focus on, and having everyone do this. It's really impactful because what we're trying to develop in our players as well as within ourselves is to not just use our personality as an excuse, right, for our behavior, right? We talk about character, right? It's our character that we should really be developing. And so, yeah, our personality may be that we are, you know, for one coach, it may be that they really struggle to have hard conversations. Other coaches might fly off the handle a little bit quicker. Other coaches really struggle to have personal, you know, one-on-one conversations just because they're always so busy and running around the place doing stuff, right? So that's an example of a couple of coaches that I'm working with this offseason. You know, their commitment in the next year, based upon the feedback, is to become more relational, is to slow down, is to spend more time in one-on-ones. And that's really, really difficult for them. But as they've made an effort in this offseason and actually been going through some one-on-ones with each player in their program, and sitting down them with them and getting to learn more about them, whether it's on phone or Zoom or actually in person, they were just transparent from the beginning. They didn't just start having these conversations. They just said, share with the players, hey, I get it. A lot of times I can come across that I don't actually care about you as a person. I get so caught up in all the things I've got to do for this program that I forget the most important thing is to sit down and just spend time with you. So I'm carving out these times. I'd like for you to sign up. I'll be honest with you, this is going to be a little tough for me. Just bear with me as I try to really work on this, but I'm doing this because I care about you all. And so just that vulnerability and transparency, I think helps to make it even more meaningful that you're taking the time for these people, because it's going against maybe what's your default, you know, personality or tendency as a leader. And you're showing, I can be intentional. I can invest in each and every one of you, even if it doesn't come natural to me.
A lot of what we have shared so far in our examples have been about admitting our mistakes and really trying to be transparent with players about the areas that we're trying to grow in. I do think there's a third avenue here, and this one requires a little bit of care, but it involves the personal disclosure of something that maybe off the court or outside of the game is having a personal effect or has had a significant effect on you, how you show up as a leader, how you show up as a coach, that done in the right way at the right time can be incredibly valuable and beneficial, powerful for your team. I can think of two examples in my own experience. About 15 years ago, back in 2006, I was coaching at Loaiza Muscatine, And my mom had just been diagnosed with cancer, with stage 4 lymphoma. And it happened in January, so right in the middle of the basketball season. And of course, along with that, I'm an only child. She's divorced, lives by herself. So there's a lot more responsibility for me in that situation, just to be able to go to appointments with her and that sort of thing. Not to mention just the emotional toll of that going on during a season. And so I remember, you know, kicking around, do I tell the team? How do I tell the team? When do I tell the team? How much do I share with the team? Because I wasn't, you know, looking for just sympathy cards and, you know, oh, poor coach. But there was the reality that I'm carrying a much heavier burden than I was a month ago as we're trying to get through the season. And so after a game at Lone Tree, we're sitting in this locker room and just felt like the right moment. And I just said, hey, I need to share something else with you guys, you know, and they sort of looked at me and I told the story of kind of what happened, generally speaking, and just said, you know, just appreciate your grace in this. I'm going to do my best to do my job as the, you know, the coach here, but if I look a little tired or if I look a little worn down or what have you, you know, kind of understand what's going on. Right. And again, it was just a moment of very personal vulnerability. The team had seen my mom in the stands many times, you know, and so it kind of brought us together and was a way for them to both have understanding and felt like they had a role in being able to support our family at the same time. It was a really powerful moment for us to share that. And I'm glad that I did. Another moment that more recently here at Mount Vernon, this past season, my second year, as we were getting ready for the playoffs, we have a tradition of doing the scout team dinner and our rotation makes supper for the scout team. And part of that is our seniors kind of share their reflections on their career and the team. And, you know, it's kind of a night of appreciation for them to be able to just say thank you, right, to their teammates and their coaches and that sort of thing. And so as we went through this, I just asked our coaches ahead of time, you know, is there anything that you guys would want to share about this year's team? And so they shared a little bit about just how much they appreciated, you know, the way that they work and how hard they show up and that sort of thing. But in the back of my mind, there was a story that I wanted to tell because what I've experienced at Mount Vernon has been incredibly healing for me following what happened at Linmar and that whole debacle there. Most of our players and parents and don't really know the whole story. You know, they might know a little bit, but they don't know what I was walking out of when I walked into Mount Vernon and how much they've helped me because of the way that they've responded to my coaching. And so I thought tonight's the night I'm going to share the story. And so I took about 25 minutes and I walked them through kind of the whole experience at Linmar. And the point of the story was not just for them to, you know, feel like, oh, poor coach was treated poorly or, you know, how unfair that was. It wasn't a sob story for me. It drove home a point that was really valuable to our team. And that was what I shared with them is that their kindness and the way that they responded to me as a coach and me personally has helped to heal a lot of hurt and brokenness in my heart. And they had no idea, A, that that was there, and B, that they were having that kind of an impact on me. And what I encouraged them was, you can do this for anyone. You don't know when you're walking the hallways at school. You don't know when you walk in, you know, at home, what your parents have gone through at work that day. But your kindness can have that same effect on people, and you never know it. Right. And so in some ways, it was a bit of a sermon, but it reinforced a lot of the values that we've been trying to aspire to in the program, but did it through a personal lens that also allowed them to sort of better understand a little bit of my own history and how and why I showed up at Mount Vernon. And again, for us, the feedback that I got from our captains was that was really powerful and they really appreciated that we shared it.
Yeah. And I think you touch on just such an important element there of what we can share. You know, in our kind of like those watershed moments, those moments that have really defined our leadership, why we show up, how we show up. Sometimes those are really great moments as a coach or even as an athlete. Sometimes those are painful moments. I know that I often shared with my players at certain points some of my really, really challenging moments as an athlete, right? And some of the things that I had to go through and how that shaped my journey. So I think the big thing when we talk about sharing these stories is sometimes we really want our players to share those stories, or we want them to share, like in the case with your mother with cancer, we want them to share when something is going on with them so that we can support them and we can be empathetic and understanding. And that requires for us to ask that question of, you know, should I share this? And to your point, the purpose is for their value, for their benefit, for their understanding. It's not that we're sharing this because we're trying to, you know, release some emotional baggage, right? There's other people in our lives that we should have to do that and to process those things through. But as long as we're sharing these moments in our life or these struggles with the intent to serve them and to help further their growth and further the connection relationship, I think these are the reasons, the motives are pure, and we should look to do that. As we're wrapping this conversation up, there's one story I want to share because I think it really embodies just the impact for ourselves and for our team, for us to be transparent around what's going on within us and what we're working on and modeling that growth mindset. So many of the things that we talked about today. And in 2016, for me, I shared with my players that I had, they obviously knew I had a short fuse, right? They had given me that feedback. And that I was really committed as a leader to finding better ways of responding. And I let them know, like, hey, I'm not going to be perfect at this. And I gave them and encouraged them and empowered them to give me feedback or, you know, just tug me three times on my shirt just when they started to see me get a little too fired up with the referees, or they started to see me maybe start to lose my cool about at that boiling point with the team when they were, you know, had a series of turnovers or whatever in practice. It was something that I struggled with and I worked at all year long, but there came this point, you know, 4 months into the season where we got absolutely blown out by a team that we weren't supposed to win, you know, beat, but we weren't supposed to lose like that. And it, honestly, in, you know, over 10 years of coaching, it was probably one of the most embarrassing moments for me as a coach to see my team just give up the way they did. And so this really was testing me. This moment was a really testing moment for, can I keep it together, right? I said I wanted to be in control and not blow up and, you know, let all my anger out at different moments or frustrations out. And here came this big moment. I remember we walked into the locker room and the team is really kind of at this point, I could just sense like, they're like, oh boy, here we go. And they know they've kind of screwed up and just laid an absolute egg. And I just looked at them all and I said, guys, we'll figure this out next week. I love you. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Put the hands in, and we broke from there. And while that was a big moment for me, and I actually felt a lot better like immediately after than if I had blown up, right? You blow up on someone, you have instant regret. When I was having conversations with players at the end of the year, the feedback was that was a turning point for us in our season, because we really just the trust for you and the belief in you and just you demonstrating that change. And there's a lot of stories I've shared, you know, in my book and on this podcast around some of the growth that other players experienced that year. And I think that my example, my transparency and all of that journey followed by the eventual change wasn't just a breakthrough for me. It was a breakthrough for that team. And, you know, after that game, we went on to win like 9 out of the next 10 games. And it was an amazing, amazing story and experience. But I just come back to the power was in some of the transparency and vulnerability with also the work to make that change. And so if we can put that work in while also having some transparency, I think it sets the stage for some amazing stories in your own coaching journey.
All right, that's it for today's episode of the Coaching Culture Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, we're grateful for people who take 15 to 30 seconds just to leave us a review. And I know your friends appreciate it when you send them an episode that they find valuable. So don't hesitate to share today's episode. This episode is brought to you by my latest book, The Culture System, A Proven Process for Creating an Extraordinary Team Culture. It's been endorsed by many exceptional leaders and coaches, one of those being 2022 MBA Coach of the Year, Monty Williams, who called it a special book with inspiring stories, applicable strategies, and a proven model for developing team culture. This book is more than just a collection of practical tools for leaders. It teaches a proven framework that some of the world's best organizations and teams use. It's packed with real-life examples and case studies that show you how these ideas can be implemented in any context. Whether you're a coach, manager, or leader, you'll find invaluable insights to help you build the culture you want. Don't miss out on this opportunity to transform your team. visit myculturesystem.com to learn more about the book, or you can get your copy on Amazon or Audible today.